Bonjour, ça va? We are news avec Christian Bonnier, with Christian Bonnier from... I'm assuming, dude, your name is French, right? Like, it's for sure French.
Yeah, I don't know any French, though.
All right, well, neither do I from what everybody now knows. Anyway, Christian, it is a pleasure to have you here. Do the people a favor, tell us all what enterprises you're involved with, and then we'll dive in. Like, you're an interesting dude. You've done a lot of stuff. You're doing a lot of stuff. So, yeah, I'm super curious, like, how you choose projects and what you've learned. And, yeah, just give the people a little introduction.
Yeah, what's up, guys? So I run Client Ascension, obviously, main gig, coaching program, teaching people how to do cold email and learn sales. And then ListKit is our data software that basically sells B2B contact data to the people running cold email in our community. So it kind of like feeds into itself. And then I post TikToks literally for fun, just for the sake of it. Keeps my creative juices going. And then I started a hat brand out of the blue one day, and it did pretty well. So I just started scaling it on the side. So I've got like 3 or 4 different things going on, which is a lot, but it's a fun time. And yeah, talk about any of those things, because I'm kind of scared of where Ryan's going to take it, but...
I'll be gentle. Don't worry. I'll be very gentle. To me, I really respect and admire people that create different things, right? So I think it's really cool, like, what you've done. What made you, like, what was the motivation? I mean, I know you said, like, you do TikToks for fun, but, like, there must be some, like, you're a smart guy, you know, you're a thoughtful guy. So, like, what's the thinking around what you get out of it, why you chose to start doing it? Because, like, I mean, you've got Client Ascension and ListKit, which are very B2B business oriented things, right? And then this, your TikTok content is very different, very, like, out of left field, right? Yeah, talking about how girls shouldn't work and tipping culture, and, you know, got the infamous Florida man news headline and everything like that. So what is it? I mean, I think for me, it's like on the outside looking in, it's really cool.
Yeah.
But I'm curious what your thought process is, because, like, the things you do are not, they're not accidental, right? For anybody who knows a little bit about you.
Yeah, I mean, TikTok was like, I started doing it to try to get leads for our B2B stuff, and it was like very forced and not fun. So decided to fire up a random video about, like, I don't know what my first one was, but it went viral and I was like addicted. So just kept making videos based on things I was thinking about, and it kept working and just got more controversial and towed the line of what you should probably not say. It was working. So yeah, that was kind of the backstory on that. And now I just post like one a day. It takes like 5 or 10 minutes. So
yeah. Is there anything that you do to, like, release the filters? 'Cause, like, a lot of people online, especially, like, what I see on social media, and that is, like, it seems like people are being quite forced in terms of what they say. Like, they're almost like, if I, like, oh, I saw this hook from this person that's not like me at all, but I'll just say it because I want the same attention, and you know, I think it's going to work. So
yeah.
Yeah, is there anything that you do or that you've learned about yourself to be your, it sounds tacky, but, like, be yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I just say whatever I'm thinking about, and a lot of people are very scared of judgment for some reason, but I don't really care at all. So it's like, I just post whatever I think about, and even if it's a little offensive to some people, that's okay. So that's kind of how I got to that point. But yeah, like, people are even scared to post, like, regular content, just, like, them talking very, very, very non-abrasive topics, just, like, any video at all, people are scared to post it. So once you get through that barrier of, like, oh, what is this guy going to think about me, or what is this group of people going to say, it's kind of freeing, you know?
Mm. Is there part of you that, like, likes the controversy? Like, are you trying to, like, push buttons and see, like, cause I know for me, like, there's been times where I'll post something, like, just to play around with it a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Like, to intentionally just be like, I wonder, like a kid playing with like a toy. Like, I wonder what's going to happen when I poke it like this, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't go for the divisiveness, but it goes viral and the comments are often hilarious, like just how triggered people get in like the comments of a video that of a guy they don't know. So I know it's gonna work and I don't get offended by it. I think it's funny, so I just kinda lean into it and it's going good, so
I got a question for you. How has, blowing up on Twitter a couple of times, getting featured on the Dave Portnoy
Oh, yeah.
podcast and stuff like that, how does that affect like living and generally like being known already now for like being Tampa's almost number one
Yeah.
ambassador? How does that affect like the day to day when you walk down, are people like stopping you in the street? Did you start having any stuff like that happen?
Yeah. I've been stopped in Tampa a lot. I mean, guys are just like, yo, love your videos. Some girls are like, oh, I love your Pilates stuff. So it happens. But it's kind of funny how fast like social media moves. Like when I was really popping off like a couple months ago, it was everyone was like, oh my God, you're that guy. And now it's kind of like less frequent. So it's funny how you have to stay relevant for so long. But yeah, I mean, I've gotten recognized a handful of times. I mean, I'm really trying to push for like establishments to recognize me so I get free shit because it's like I've made a couple like restaurants and bars blow up or not blow up but like get a bunch of views. So it's like just I'm gonna start my food influencer era pretty soon here.
There we go. We finally got that was the backstory of
That's the
why
real
Christian,
nah, it's
right?
the
That's
real
the real
it's
reason.
dudes trying to get free food. That's the
Yep.
yeah. There you go. Yeah. Do you ever get connected with Dave Portnoy? Because I know you were for a while you were
No.
doing this like shotgunning whatever it was
Huh.
like
Yeah.
every day until Dave Portnoy notices
Yeah,
you.
I'm gonna try that this summer too, because when I tried last year, he like went back in as the CEO of Barstool Sports, so it was like the perfectly wrong time for him to answer. But this summer, he goes to my hometown every summer for the horse racing, so he'll be back up. I'll have a little bit more leverage with the video that he made of me, so it's like just keep doing it, and eventually he'll
There you
hopefully
go.
answer.
All right, I
I
got
got
a
like a
very this is
what's
a very personal question on my
yeah, go
side.
ahead, Tony.
Three Corners Pizza, what's the rating?
It's like a 7.1. It's not bad, it's not good. I love
It's
pizza, so it's like I've
yeah.
never had a slice of pizza that I hate. I'm like very infrequently am I repulsed by pizza, so I'll eat it. It's like there if I need like a quick snack or drunk slice of pizza, but yeah.
Was that that place that we went to in Tampa that was like
Yeah,
right
that's
across from the hotel, Tony? Okay.
right below where the event happened as well.
Yeah. What tell us about the hat brand. Because I know that's around like
Yeah.
to get to like more serious topics, right? Like I mean, it's a cool looking hat, right? But it's got a story behind why you chose the name. So talk to us about that, because I think that's a
Yeah, I mean, I just like had an idea one day and I was like, that'd be cool, but I didn't know how to start it at all. So I was like, all right, let's put this on the shelf for now, see what happens. And I tweeted and some dude DM'd me that was like a former Barstool Sports like merch designer, and he's like, I just got laid off, like I have a lot of free time to help. So I was like, all right, shit, like I really need to go through with this because this is like a crazy opportunity. Go through with it, get him design. And the idea was just like I think it was a tweet one day about a shipping box. Someone said like the shipping box has really cool branding, like this would be a really cool streetwear brand. I was thinking about it and I was like, fragile, you handle a box gently if it says like fragile. So I'm like mental health, like being nice to people, make it a little bit like proprietary with the spelling, like redesign the wine glass. So I just thought about it in my head, gave it off to the guy, he made it. It was fire. We ordered some samples. And it's about like mental health and just being nice to people, but I don't want it. I want it to stay like streetwear and not go like super like mental health. I feel like once you go down the mental like that rabbit hole, it just kind of makes the brand like a little bit. I want it to be like that cool, mysterious, like hip streetwear brand rather than like, oh, the mental health brand, you know what I mean? So it's like it
Like
has a
something that's
cool.
like a has like a cause behind it, really. It's
It has a cool undertone, but it's like I still want it to like, oh, that's a cool hat, not just like, oh, that's a mental health hat. So it's like a good mix of both. And if anyone asks like the story behind it, I have an answer for it. as to why I designed it. So that's kind of where we're at. Been toying around with some Facebook ads, and it's a little bit tricky, but it's been fun.
What's interesting is like when you the subtle undertone there. One of them was like, if you have a personal brand, you get just cool stuff that happens, right? Like that guy would not have reached out to you had he not already been following you, right? Like people don't offer things to people that have 20 followers on Twitter or whatever. Like we've got some crazy talent, like inbound, like our team comes from inbound. All of our clients come from inbound. We're trying to figure out like, you know, reliable cold sources, cold traffic and whatever else.
Yeah. But,
I was talking to Andre about this as well. Like, and he was like, oh yeah, dude, like all like you have like the amazing talent pool that comes in. It's like wants to work for you or wants to just like do projects like the hat or what are like other cool stuff. I just think it's like a very under, or for me, it was like somewhat unexpected. You know, I've never gotten like free merch. I think you got to be like a hot chick to get free merch. But, we've got some like really insane talent that's come in that I don't think would have wanted to work for us otherwise, or would have been very expensive otherwise if we didn't have some kind of audience or some kind of brand.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Who has wanted to work for you, bro? I wouldn't want to work for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, it requires a certain amount of like intellect. So there's like a certain kind of person that really is drawn to like actually, you know, do certain things. So because we do like the real work, not the pretend fluffy, you know, beta girl creative work. So it's the real stuff that makes the machinery run. So it's, you know, it's not for everybody. I totally get it. But we would be pleased to have you, Christian. I don't know that we could afford you, but we would be pleased to have you.
I'm not a systems guy, bro.
You'd be a delight to have on any team. You just wouldn't be able to do what we do. Cold email a copy and stuff like that is like super. I think it's like there's certain offers that are more like, you know, implementation heavy.
Yeah.
And there's like I would love to get to a point where we have, you know, a full-time creative team and whatever else, right? Here's a question for you. Like I've always kind of wondered about this, right? So, you know, I get pitches from people that are not that want to do like free copy for us or want to do, you know, free whatever it is, right? And so oftentimes they don't have a big following on Twitter or X or whatever. You do. You're an excellent. I mean, for all the shit talk I give you and vice versa, you're an excellent writer. You're like a very, you know, it's not just Twitter. It's like obviously TikTok. You've blown up on TikTok, which is a visual form, but it's still kind of copy, right? You're still expressing an idea and like hitting emotions and all these other things, right? So. Do you think for someone to be a good copywriter, like them having a big audience go one and the same? Because like there's guys like Ben Bader, who's an excellent writer. Mason is like excellent writer. And those guys have big audiences. I don't know if that's like a coincidence. You do as well. Like you have, you know, you're a great writer and you have a big audience. Do you think it's like the ultimate test of a copywriter is to have a large audience? Like, can you be a good copywriter without a large audience in some platform?
Yeah, I mean, I get you can be a great writer with no audience, but it's just like, I guess it's really hard to consistently write if you're not getting like feedback from people. Because if I put out like a good tweet or a good thread or a good TikTok video that I scripted up, it'll do really well and I'll be like, "Whoa, wow, that was really cool." Like that feedback loop is there and it just makes you want to keep going and keep posting. But it's like if you have no followers and you write the best thread of all time and it gets one like, you're like, "Wow, this is kind of discouraging." And you're probably not going to stay with it for as long. I think I read something. It was like the best writers of all time something about how, like, you know, the best writers of all time literally wrote for years with, like, no audience because there was no social media back in the day, and they were just, like, writing really good books. Like, actually, it was, like, I think it was Charles Dickens or somebody wrote all his books, published all of his classic books, and they didn't get, like, worldwide acclaim until, like, 100 years after he died. So it's, like...
What? Really?
Yeah, I think it was something like that where, like, his work wasn't appreciated when he was alive, and that's why social media is so powerful, because you can get
It's because you get
appreciation in the same hour. Yeah.
Right.
Which is pretty crazy. So you don't need a good following to get be a good writer, but if you just keep posting, you're eventually going to hit the point where you have the audience to give you that feedback loop of this was good content, this was not, this is how I get better, stuff like that. So
I know you guys had a podcast, you went to Gary Vee, you how did that whole content thing start for you? Like when does Christian start thinking about, all right, let me try to get an audience?
It started on Twitter back when we were like 2021-ish. Like I think Andre and I were, we were, our friend Nick Rogers, who was he was a Client Ascension coach, he's a good friend, he runs a really good agency. He kept telling us, like, you guys need to write, you need to be on Twitter, this is where I'm getting all my business. So like we just got on Twitter, started writing, and basically like I was ghostwriting for Andre, and I was just like posting threads on Andre's account ghostwriting as we were growing our agency, basically tracking like, here's how we're growing our agency, here's some cold email tactics, here's our hiring strategy, like here's our sales strategy, and just kept writing and putting out content and being very authentic with what we were talking about as we were growing from like zero to 20K. And people started respecting that and really, you know, appreciated it, and it just started getting traction. And then Andre got to a good point with his account, I started growing my own account. So we were like growing a Twitter account in tandem with our agency, right? So it was like a really good little mix of actual business success with like growth on social media. So that's how that kind of happened.
But what Help didn't, so wait, hold on a second. I thought you guys had a podcast in university first.
Oh yeah. I mean, we had a podcast in like freshman year of college. So that was like 2018. We were interviewing like Neil Patel and who else did we get? Brad Lee, a bunch of big names. But we didn't really, it had an audience, but it wasn't like producing anything. Like we're just putting out episodes every week and posting to our two followers on Instagram. Like it wasn't a lot, right? Because there were no short form reels back then. So yeah, that kind of got us into the content game and got us really hooked on like podcasting, but that didn't produce much. It really, the inflection point was when we got on Twitter and started like posting our agency stuff.
Yeah. How do you get like Neil Patel on a podcast?
We just reached out from our, okay, so this is a really good trick. If you have an EDU email, like a college email, and you reach out from it, you're going to get a lot of replies. That's probably a cold email saw trick in there somewhere, but
they're probably makes me want to go buy a bunch of, I think we were talking to somebody recently who had like a hack for this where you could effectively, I'm trying to remember who this is, and Christian, you probably know them too, but I don't remember who it was. Probably some of the cold email people that we collectively know. Right. And somebody was saying how you could basically start up like a fake university and not only get EDUs, but like also
get really cheap.
Yeah. From like Microsoft or something, like hundreds of email accounts. Cause they think you're a university. Right. So they're like, well, yeah, of course you need 10,000 student accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be hilarious. Cause like that's the reason they answered was like, oh, they're college freshmen. Sure, I'll hop on with them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who else? Tony, do you want to start? Do you want to start a high school, Tony? We should just start. Oh, yeah, a school. Yeah.
I wonder why, Ryan.
Actually, a buddy of mine who actually you would really like Christian. He has similar character traits, similar unfiltered character traits. Him and a mutual friend, this is Tom and Mike, Tony. They have like a coaching program, right? Teaching writing online. Like it's a biz op, right? How to make money as an online writer. And they looked into like basically registering as an online school to get so that the, like Veterans Affairs would pay for the, their course, the course fee or something like that. So yeah, I don't, they never got it. You know, they couldn't, didn't get approved as an accredited university, but these are just like two friends of mine that live here in town, like these American guys. And
yeah.
And it's like if Klein Essential was registered as like an accredited university.
Sounds like a hack.
Right. So, you know, I'm not saying you should do this, but there's people on the internet that try these things.
That's hilarious. Dude, where are you right now?
Tbilisi, Georgia. And Tony's in Zagreb, Croatia. But actually moving to Croatia in like the next couple months. So
nice.
Sent in the visa application like a week and a half ago. So yeah.
It was a tough sell.
Should be sweet. Yeah, it was a tough sell. Yeah, Tony. Tony's gonna be my Croatian wife. So it's trying to
marry me for visa purposes.
We talked to yesterday that like a business partner is more important than a spouse. So I'm like gonna lean in. I'm gonna lean into that hard.
Wow.
And then yeah, Christian, you can come visit, dude. And yeah, I don't think Tony's wife or my girlfriend would mind at all. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I'm on my way.
Yeah, dude, come for Yacht Week.
What is that?
Yacht Week? Oh, dude. Well, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a bunch of people that rock. Oh, when? Oh, July? I don't know. Tony, you would know, Tony.
July.
Is it July? All yeah, right. It's like, super nice Adriatic, you know? People hang on boats and it's more, I will say, like, you boys are a little younger than me. It's more for your generation than mine, I think. But there's, like, a certain age where you're, like, you can't
you
hang
said
out.
That.
Like,
you said
you know,
that.
I can't really party with, like, too many people that are 22 that are not, like, my direct friends already. Because, like, it's a weird, I'm, like, the weird old guy, so.
Hey, young people.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, buckaroos. Okay, yeah. Man. Yeah. I have to like throw in the old like cap or no, like so like I need to have the lingo. Oh, totes or whatever. I don't know.
No, dude. Oh my god.
Yeah. Let's see.
That's enough.
No, is that too much? Yeah.
Totes. Like, yeah, no. Don't do
totes.
That.
Totes. No. Obvi. When I was in university, the people that were like a few years younger than me used to say obvi. I'm like, that's that sounds stupid. Like it's short for obvious. Like it's just, that. Like it's dumb. No.
Yeah. I want to go to Oktoberfest though. So,
oh yeah,
Munich. All right, that's like a couple of hours drive north of where I'm from. It's like a 5-hour drive.
Yeah, I want to go there with the Irish CA lads. Have a day.
Oh boy. Oh shit. Oh dude, you can't go with Irish people. That'd be just a shit show.
You went last year though, right?
Yeah, it was insane. That's why I want to go back.
How far in advance? Like you must have had, you got to book that stuff pretty far in advance to get lodging in Munich, right?
My friends actually had it planned, and they added me into the itinerary. Like,
oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
But no, I mean, all you have to do is lock down an Airbnb, and then like it's a fairground, so there's not like tickets.
Right. Yeah. You just gotta get the Airbnb. Like, if you have friends that can lock down the Airbnb, like. Early enough, or you know, if you, I guess, pay more, then it's all good.
Yeah.
Back when I was traveling, like I, you know, I was like a poor, like broke student, so I didn't have money for the extra nice Airbnbs. So, yeah, you gotta, you got a business, man. You know, like you're good to go. I'm sure you just book it as normal, and you just pay more money than normal times. Yeah.
I got a question building on the podcast. How did you get Gronk on? How did you get like some of these aside from like the hotel, but like what's that story?
We didn't get Gronk on, but we got this this guy named Adam Weitzman, who's like a billionaire scrap metal guy who just somehow knows everybody, kind of sus honestly, but we had him on, and then he invited us to a dinner at a basketball game, like a basketball game and then a dinner. And then the day before he's like, you know football? We're like, yeah. He's like, the Gronkowski family's coming, and we're like on the phone, like, oh, cool. Well, we're like freaking out in the car. So we hung up the phone, went crazy, and then went to the game and then went to dinner. And sure enough, Gronk and his brothers and his dad walked in and had dinner with those guys, and it was insane. But that was that. And then, yeah, like I said, with the interviews, we would literally sit down and reach out to like 50 people a day that we wanted to have on the show, just DMing like anyone we could think of, emailing anyone we could think of. And that was like the OG cold email. It was like 2018 emailing people that we wanted on our show. And, you know, send 50 DMs a day, get one reply a day. That's still a pretty good lineup of people. So,
yeah, you just need one. I mean, no one cares that, you know, you had to email 50 people and one replied. They just see the one, right? That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And then what was the whole story with Gary Vee? I know the infamous photo from his office. What was that about?
Yeah, so that was another outreach. I DM'd like some guy that customized sneakers, completely random. And he's like, reach out to my assistant Josh, he'll hook you up, like he'll get us on a scheduled interview. I'm like, okay, cool. DM Josh. Josh is a really cool kid. He goes, hey, like, this guy isn't actually down to do the podcast. He's busy, whatever, not really a social media guy. He just posts his shoes. But he's like, I am starting to work at VaynerMedia this summer, and you guys are cool. Checked out the episode you did with whoever. Would love to, you know, see if we could do an in-person interview in New York City at VaynerMedia. So we're like, oh, shit, this is dope. So kept in touch with him, wound up driving into New York City from upstate New York, and our friend Josh, who I'm still good friends with to this day, had us into VaynerMedia on a Saturday. It was completely empty. We toured it, did an interview in Gary's actual office, and that was super cool. Didn't get to meet Gary then. And then obviously we met him at VCon. He has like a conference every year, and I got to meet him and ask him a question and get on his social media somehow. That was cool.
Oh, I remember that video.
Yeah. He posted you. Sure, yeah, he posted the video. Wasn't there like, if I remember correctly, didn't someone say like, you're not allowed to talk to Gary, like you have 5 seconds with Gary, just shake his hand and leave, and you're like, fuck this, I'm going to ask him like a really, you know,
yeah, deep, they're like, deep, yeah, just question. Like, get a picture and move on. And I was like, Gary, one second. Right. And then I asked him, and of course he just like broke the rule and just kept going, so it was cool.
Right. Yeah, yeah. What did you ask him again?
I just asked him, like, how do I avoid the comparison game? Like, I'm in a very successful spot in my life at my age, but I'm surrounded by really high-level people. Like, how do I just keep my – how do I focus on myself? Because I wanted to hear what he would say, and I knew that it would be, like, a classic Gary rant. So he went on a rant. He was like, you're more handsome than all these guys. Like, I was like, okay,
you're better. And Christian's like, oh, no, stop it. No, no. Don't make his ego even bigger. What are your thoughts? I mean, for you, Christian, what are your thoughts on the comparison game right now?
I think it's like, if you compare, like, there's always somebody that's going to be richer, taller, more endowed, more, like, there's always somebody that has like more of what you want, no matter what. Even if you're a billionaire, like Jeff Bezos could be like, oh, Elon Musk is richer than me now, I feel insecure. It's like, there's really no end game to that. So I kind of realized, like, there's not, if you're doing as much as you can to keep growing, like, there's not really a point to compare what other people are doing, if that makes sense. Yeah, so I just kind of focus on myself. Like, I've met people that have way more money than me. I've gone out to dinner with them, gone out to drinks with them, and they're just, like, a very boring person that I would not want to be. So it's like, all right, you know, money's great. It'll come. I'm young. I'll make more money in my life. But I'm not going to be jealous about this dude because he has more money than me, even though I would never want to switch places with him, right?
Yeah. The controversial thought I have is, like, what's interesting is there's a lot of people that I think subconsciously believe that everybody is equal. So like, oh, sure, Christian has this like really cool hat brand and he's got a fame, you know, he got famous on TikTok and he's met all these people, but I bet he's secretly, you know, miserable, and I bet he secretly has no friends and he's probably a dick. Yeah. Right. So they almost like make up a story of like, yeah, sure. Like to even the playing field, like, oh yeah, just, Jeff Bezos is got a lot of money, but like, oh, his wife divorced him, so he's probably terrible with like people. Right. And so my thinking there is like, I like to like logic things out. Right. And so what I realize is like, if you have to fundamentally believe that other people are better than you, because if you don't, then you fundamentally have to believe that you cannot be better than you. Right. So you have to believe that, like, if you get in better shape, then you like lose all your friends, or if you get more money, then you become more boring, or if you launch a cool hat brand that you've like neglected your business partners, or what, like you'd have to kind of like the both of those stories have to be the same, right?
Yeah.
Because and so you have to almost like have this idea that maybe Jeff Bezos has a bunch of money, and maybe he's also like a super nice guy when you actually meet him, and maybe he's also like sure, maybe maybe Mackenzie divorced him, like best investment decision of all time, right? So number one investor in the world, Mackenzie Scott. I don't know if you've seen that graph, right? Like where she got married to him and where she divorced, like it was ultimate like buy low, sell high. But
it's like keeping score, right? I was at the Tony Robbins Dean Graziosi event last week, and Dean was talking about how like the worst thing you can do in your life is keep score. Like me and my wife have a great relationship. If like I come home late, she could not make breakfast the next day to get back at me and even the playing field. Or your business partner, like your partner goes to Real Week and doesn't work for a week, like I'm not going to work for a week because I'll even the playing field, right? That's like
right.
Keeping score is like the worst thing you can do in your life, just because it's never going to be balanced. Like you have to be – all the relationships you have shouldn't be like a scoreboard. It should just be like, this is my relationship, and sometimes it's not even, and sometimes I do more than the other person. Sometimes they do less than me, or like some – you know, there's always going to be that ebb and flow of like people that are around you. So it's like instead of just trying to always be even on your scoreboard, just
Yeah, my thinking is like trying to be as better as good as I can for myself, right? So, like, and there's been times when like there's been times in my life where I've been in much better shape than I am now, but like I can't look at that as like I'm getting worse or like or look at somebody else and go, well, I'm hot shit because 10 years ago I achieved this other thing and you haven't done that yet, because like the whole like comparison game is very. With the exception of like, I think it's really helpful to look at it as like inspiration to go, mm-hmm. Oh, Christian made this like awesome hat brand. Oh, that's so cool. Like that's so creative. I wonder if I can take lessons from him and launch the t-shirt brand or the mugs or the events or whatever else that's like really cool. Right. And using other people as like, if he can do it, that must be possible. Therefore, I should do it too.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, if this, like, a lot of people that are really successful are no more capable than you. They've just been around longer and maybe got lucky or had a big break, but they just, there's something that they're doing that you can easily replicate. So,
yeah.
But you're in a cool spot where you both have a business where you got business partners and you have a business now, the hat brand, where you're a solo founder. But now you've tasted both. What's like the main difference that you're experiencing? Are you liking one better than the other?
I mean, the hat brand's like really just for, it's like a side fun thing right now, like maybe 20-30 minutes a day versus like Liskit Klein Ascension is like 8 or 9 hours a day. So it's like the hat brand's fun because e-com is like there's no fulfillment. Like you just send them the hat, it's like, okay, there you go, thanks, and that's it. That's been pretty fun. And just like seeing people wear it's cool. But yeah, I mean, Klein Ascension and Liskit is still the impact vehicle where I'm able to like help a lot of people and grow their business and, just leave a better impact. So it's a good mix of creativity with TikTok, with my hats, where I can like be really creative and outside the box. And then Klein Ascension and Liskit, where it's kind of like systemized creativity, where I'm doing the same things over and over for people, if that makes sense, to help them out. So it's like a really good balance throughout the day.
Got it. How does it actually, like, how does the dichotomy of like the partnerships work? And I know we asked this question, same thing goes for
so,
we asked this question to Andre as well.
We all have a lot to do because it's a large organization, but I do. So Andre's the ops guy. He does hiring, systems, payroll, all that stuff. Dan is like the head of the sales team. He just takes sales calls, helps the sales team close more deals. Daniel is like the guru. He's like the face. He does all the media buying. He does like the ads. And then I do like front end and back end marketing. So like I help our students, obviously, with their cold emails. I help them with their offers. We have a done for you offer at Liskit now where we build a cold email system for you. I write all the copy for those. We get like 2 or 3 of those a day or a week sometimes. And then I do my YouTube for marketing. I manage Liskit's email list. I manage Liskit's cold email campaigns. I have a big say in like ListKit's design and how to optimize like the landing page and conversion rates. Obviously Twitter. So yeah, it's like for me, I'm like a Swiss Army knife of like front end, back end, marketing, fulfillment, copy, email list, content, YouTube. So it's a good balance. I mean, we all have a lot to do. Like I said, it's not like four guys are running like a 20K per month business where we have like overlapping responsibilities. Like it's all very segmented out based on what we're good at and what we're doing. So yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Ryan. You got any more?
Oh man. I mean, well, Christian's like, there's not very many facets to your personality. So it's pretty tapped. No, I'm kidding. You're a fascinating person, Christian. We love you. We love you, buddy. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know if I have questions necessarily. It just got an interesting conversation. Was KnowledgeX your first like business?
No. Actually, we started. So we had a, well, mine, yes. We had a, in college, we had this business called Incubate Media, which no one knows about. It was like a full service marketing agency for like local business. We helped with like web design, podcast creation, all this random shit. And that ended kind of sour because myself and one other person like thought we had equity and someone else didn't think it. And it just kind of fizzled out. So,
oh shit. Okay.
Yeah. That was like a college summer thing. So it was a great experience and that's what got me tied in with Andre and Dan. But yeah, that was also not very scalable just cause like we were doing a million different things for like $800 a month. It was crazy, but that was like the first business venture I was involved in sort of. So that was good. And then KnowledgeX was the, what is it? The Phoenix, like something dies and is KnowledgeX.
Oh, rising out of the Phoenix. Yeah.
KnowledgeX was reborn and that's how.
That's right. Ha ha ha. Yeah.
But KnowledgeX was honestly shitty at first. The reason it's called KnowledgeX is because we were helping knowledge experts launch a coaching program. So.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. So it completely like you pivoted hard.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So it was like, okay. We're helping knowledge experts and it wasn't really working because we couldn't sign any clients and we had no social proof and we didn't know proper marketing. Yeah. So like we had a good idea in theory, but we were running ads and nobody was closing and it just wasn't working. So that was our first start. And then we discovered cold email, Daniel, Twitter. And that was when we just did a hard pivot into cold email and realized it was a lot easier and we were better at it. So that was how we got that going.
Huh. I guess the domain name makes sense now, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how like, I mean, it doesn't matter how much marketing you do. If you can't get clients, like there's no, no social proof, no case studies, like you're kind of pooched, right?
Yeah. It was not fun.
how big did KnowledgeX get at the top?
100K a month, but it was we hit like 100K and then it came back down to like 85 after churn. So 100K at the peak, but that was like max effort, like grind set, working our balls off, like three of us. So not a fun 100K per month, and that's why we kind of pivoted into coaching and ListKit because it's a much more leveraged vehicle of making money.
Yeah,
makes sense. Cool, good stuff. Well, Christian, we got a question now we ask everyone is, what should we name the podcast? Because this is so far the unnamed
podcast. Yeah, we don't have a name for the podcast. And we like to just do this for free consulting because you're the creative guy.
That's funny, I don't know. You guys have a good name. You guys can think of a good name. I don't know how PC you want to make the name, but
no, just do whatever's on your
heart. We don't have HR. We don't have HR.
We don't have HR. Yeah.
I mean,
we can make just it say like it. Nah. Just say it. Say it. Say what's on your mind.
Just be like the autistic podcast. We can't do that.
The what?
Like the autistic operator podcast.
Well, who does it refer to? Me or Ryan?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who are we talking about here?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both?
Okay.
The autistic Slavic operator.
Right. Then it'd be really clear.
There we go.
The Yacht Week podcast. You guys can film on Yacht Week.
The Yacht Week podcast, yeah.
Could be the move. Christian, where should people reach out to you?
Twitter is CB Writes Copy. Instagram is ChristianB.23. TikTok is CB Writes Copy. Those are my main socials. Not giving you my phone number, so yeah.
Well, it depends on your gender, age range, length of hair, and body mass index, probably, right?
Right. Well, right. I also like to, you got to nurture the lead. So you get them on the Instagram, you post a couple stories, you see them like your story, you hit them with the DM, and then you get
right. You get them in the, you get them in the content funnel. I had a buddy who used to work for BCG or Deloitte, or one of those like consulting companies, right? He like actually, that was his like, he very much had a funnel for chicks. He was like, well, like, she followed me and like I got a DM from her and I got her phone number and we've went out one time and, you know, and on and on and on as you would imagine. So, you know, it's not a bad strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
There we go. Christian, appreciate you. Appreciate you having on. Oh, also question. Who should we have next? Who should we on have next?
Oh, yeah.
Next guest.
I nominate. Oh, dude, you should interview Max Sturtevant. I love that kid. That's a good interview.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good show.
All right, Max, you're going to be up next.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go. Christian, appreciate Max you having me on.
All right.
That's the Autistic Operator podcast.
There we go.
All right.